Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship that can be found in your bulletin or on the screen in front of you. Let us worship the name of our wonderful God. The voice of God creates all things. May God give strength to all who gather here today. Amen. Let's stand and join together in singing hymn number 170, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can hear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
And now, if you will join me as we repeat the Apostles' Creed, which is on page 881 in your hymnal or on the screens in front of you. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending it out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of the drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings.
Please join me in saying our offertory prayer that can be found in your bulletins and on the screens. God of the least, the last, and the lost, Jesus reminded us as he preached the Sermon on the Mount how much you pour your love down on the ones who are the poor, the meek, the heartbroken, the despised. In his words, we are convicted of the ways we clung so tightly to money and possessions, seeking the comforts, status, and control they seem to provide. As we bring our gifts to your altar this morning, may your love soak us in a way that loosens grip of the things this world that do not last, so we may cling instead to love and redeeming grace, which endures eternally. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Holy Ghost, amen.
As we remain standing, let's join together in singing hymn number 733, Marching to Zion.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in our song with sweet accord, join in our song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Thousand sacred sweets before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields. Oh, walk the golden streets, oh, walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound, every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's grounds, we're marching through Emmanuel's grounds, to Pharaoh. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Is there joy in this house this morning? Amen. Amen. We are in the house of the Lord this morning, and we are to be joyous and excited to praise the name of God. And in that vein, I have a joy from yesterday. We had our first forward movement session of this year. We went over to St. Timothy's Lutheran and talked about ways in which we can be in partnership and ministry together, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. They like us, and so they've decided that it would be cool for us to do some ministry together, and so we've planned another meeting that we'll host here for next month. And so that was just an awesome, awesome time to do some cross-denominational ministry in Sumner County, and we got to be a part of that, and that is a wonderful thing. I don't have any updates on prayer concerns, but what we're going to do this morning is pray prayers of the people litany. It's a little bit different than the one that we're familiar with, but you'll see the parts of the litany on the screen, and you'll be invited to respond, hear our prayer when you hear the call, Lord, in your mercy. So let us pray now for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, choir. It's good to see you. Is it good to be seen? Why are you here today? Are you here because you come every Sunday? It's a habit? Are you here because it's just, well, it's the thing to do on a Sunday? Are you here because you're afraid I might call you out the next time you show up? Which is a distinct possibility. Are you here because you're afraid that if you don't show up, God will think badly because of you? Are you here because you need a good nap long about now? Why are you here today? You're here because if you don't show up to usher, Julie's going to call you? Because you have to teach, or because your Sunday school class is going to a really good place to lunch afterwards, or because it's a spectacular coffee that we have and the wonderful whatever we're having for fellowship time. Why are you here today? Do you have any expectation of what's going to happen to you while you're here today? Or is it just something to check off your list? Well, I had an hour with Jesus. That's about all he gets this week. Why are you here? Our text today comes from the Gospel of Luke. The chapter is 6, verses 17 through 26. Now, I'm going to use the Message translation just because I think it's easier for us to hear. You may follow along in whatever translation you've got in writing, on your phone, or you may see what's on the screen. And Melissa, I'm going to need you to thank you. Some backdrop. Jesus has been moving through the countryside. He's healed in the previous chapter and prior to this. He's healed a man who has had a skin disease called leprosy. The story of the guy who was paralyzed and his friends, you know, clawed through the roof, that's happened. He's called an IRS man to come be part of his inner circle. And he's taken 12 people up to the mountain. And he called them apostles. And they're on their way down. Coming down off the mountain with them, meaning the apostles, he stood on a plain surrounded by disciples and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their ailments. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him, so much energy surging from him, so many people healed. Then he spoke. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes with the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb, if you like, for even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And you know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think that life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, sometimes we come into your house just to come in. We come here out of habit. We come in here to be seen. We come out of all kinds of motivations, God. But Lord, in this moment, in this day, in this house, and in this time, help us to get our motivations in line with your will. Help us, Lord, to cast aside all the things that prevent us from seeing you and hearing you. Help us, Lord, to have expectancy. Expectancy of experiencing you with freshness and newness, that some small part of us will be changed, that some small part of us will be challenged, that some small part of us will leave here with the aroma of you on us. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord, for this your servant is listening. And let the church say, amen. This is an interesting pericope, story, because when we find it, all kinds of people. We find in it not just the Jews. If you didn't catch those two towns sitting Tyre, and if you didn't know a whole lot, you would think, oh, there's just a bunch of people from Jerusalem and Judea there. But what you have there are also Gentiles that were coming to Jesus wanting something. Well, yeah, his reputation had spread far and wide that he was something to go see. And so a crowd forms. We talked about crowds last week, and I want to talk a little bit about them today. Crowds are funny things. When you get in a crowd, you kind of change your behavior. You become anonymous because there's a lot of people around you, and your inhibitions begin to drop. And this happens in this crowd too. And in this crowd, it seems like the Jews didn't mind the Gentiles being there. And that was a big deal back then. They were so focused on Jesus, they didn't mind rubbing shoulders with the other. They didn't mind the fact that the unclean Gentile was standing next to them. They were so focused in getting to Jesus. Just saying, they wanted so much to get to this man. They also became less inhibited about touching the rabbi. You see, reaching out and touching a rabbi is a big no-no. Rabbis are not to be touched by anybody except for in his family. That's just not done. That's kind of a moray that they have. Yet here he was walking, and people were reaching out to touch him because power was surging from him. They were forgetting that really strong custom just to reach out. You ever wanted something so much that you would go for it no matter what opposition there was? You wanted it so much that it didn't matter what your family or your friends said, you had to go for it? That's what was going on there. They were reaching out for him. I mean, to stop. How many of us today want Jesus so much that we're willing to reach out and grab him? We're willing to go against public opinion to follow him. We're willing to say yes to him when it's not popular. What if coming to church today required us to be uncomfortable? I don't mean just deal with rain. I mean really uncomfortable. Would we do it? What if we had to battle the authorities to get here? Because in some places in our world, people cannot go to a house of Christian worship without putting their lives in danger. Would you do it? What if we didn't have power today? What if a buzzard hit the pole again? Really? What if the HVAC system was down? I mean, these are minor inconveniences compared to a lot of people in the world who try to worship in a Christian house. Would you do it? What if the pew cushions weren't there? Yeah. What if the sound system went out and I had to scream the whole time and you couldn't hear? Would you do it? I'm just saying, what if it wasn't comfortable in here? Lord, honey, I know who I'll be at my office on Monday morning. Right? But what if you were in danger? Would you still follow Jesus? What if following Jesus meant you had to change your perspective? Changed how you lived? Changed how you spent your time and your resources? Would you do it? What if we stood at the doors of the church and we said, prove you're a disciple? Could you get in? We said, give me 10 Bible verses by memory. And that's a reference point too. And Jesus wept doesn't count. I'm just saying, what if we said you had to demonstrate that you really wanted to be in the house? Could you? And that's what the crowd that day was doing. They were showing that they really wanted to be with Jesus. And they were expecting him to change them. They were going against social customs. They were gathering, though they know the Romans could have come and taken them in, and they did not care. And they were expecting to be changed. Did you come here today expecting to be changed? Oh, come on, you're in church. Don't lie to yourself. I dare say none of us did. We expected to come, hear some music, hear the Bible read, let Pat entertain you for 15 or 20 minutes, and then some of you go home or some of you go to Sunday school. But did you expect to be changed? Those people did. And Jesus came down to the plain. Did you catch that? He came down to the plain. He walked among them. He didn't stand up there. He walked among them where he could see them eyeball to eyeball. Some of y'all getting really upset right now. Can you help me out, Nick? Some of y'all getting real nervous right now. I can see if you're playing on your phone. But he walked among them so he could see them eyeball to eyeball so they could touch him. So they could be in relationship. So they could be changed. So that they could have their expectancy met. If you came here with low expectations, you might just leave with those expectations met. Maybe we need to raise the bar. Maybe we need to raise the bar for ourselves. Maybe we truly need to expect Christ to change our lives. What would happen? I'm moving, Nick. What would happen if we truly expected Jesus Christ to change our lives? Some of us get real scared. But Rehoboth become a place of hope, a place of love, and a place where God is worshiped. Amen. My challenge for you this week, ask yourself one question. Do I truly expect my life to be changed by the one who died for me? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
For our closing hymn, let's stand and join together in singing hymn number 337, Only Trust Him. Let's stand and sing together.
Plunge not to the crimson flood. that was as bright as snow. Only trust him, only trust him.
Please remain standing and receive this benediction. When Reverend Pat was asking us, would we come here if there was no air conditioning? Would we come here if there were no pew cushions? I was like, this sounds really familiar, and I couldn't put my finger on it until about the fourth one, and I was like, wait a second. My son's favorite book is Green Eggs and Ham. And so we know this litany of, would you eat green eggs and ham in a box or with a fox? And so what was connecting with that to me is that this person just would not eat green eggs and ham until what happened? Till he tasted it, right? And then he would eat green eggs and ham anywhere, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how silly. Cash's favorite part is with a goat. Why would you do that with a goat? It's so silly and crazy. But the point is that if we make that connection to Jesus and we think really deeply about what it is that would allow us to be uncomfortable in our faith, it's that interaction and engagement with Jesus. And for Green Eggs and Ham, it was taste. And for us, maybe it's just reaching out and touching. And so may you go this week thinking about Green Eggs and Ham and how we can engage with Jesus in uncomfortable ways. Amen.
For our congregational benediction, let's join together in singing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Go in peace.